Welcome back to our eighth lesson on the theme Faith and Reason in Francis and Rosmini. And we arrived to the 13th paragraph of the new essay concerning the origin of ideas, where we read, "The single principle of Christianity is truth, and truth is also the principle of philosophy. In philosophy, truth is found only as a rule of the mind. In Christianity, it comes to us complete and entire and self-subsistent as a divine person." This is, in one sentence, the philosophy of the absolute of Rosmini. The philosophy of the absolute, the philosophy of the relationship between the two lights, which are not in an Augustine or in a Thomistic relationship. We have to read the modern thinkers, first of all Fichte and Hegel, to have an idea of the right definition of relationship. The problem of Fichte and Hegel is their immanentism, that they don't affirm the reality, the real absolute being above reality, that they include in their idealistic definition absolute in that category which is their fundamental metaphysical category in self-consciousness. And here lies the problem, and Rosmini analyzed very, very well this problematic point. But we have to analyze them, because only in analyzing the dimension of self-consciousness and of absolute knowledge, we can now consider, as we did in the last video lesson, how the absolute horizon of knowledge, of truth, of the abstract idea, is on the same time, in its real essence, in its reality, in its word, the absolute being of God. We do not deal with two levels, Thomistically or neo-Thomistically as you want, but we deal with a construction which is much more similar to the idea of Fichte, that in the absolute knowledge we deal with the image of God, which is every time all above, which is not in the distinction between subjective and objective. And we see that in Rosmini only the intuition of the idea of being is constituting the difference of subjective and objective, but not in a mere idealistic, not in a mere sense of knowledge, but in a real sense, in a real subject which is intuiting the idea of being, the subject which is intuiting the object. But also in Rosmini, only the idea of being, only the idea of absolute knowledge is constituting then the difference between objective and subjective. Like in Fichte, in the absolute being, image of God, then it is possible to break it up into the difference of subjective and objective. And all stands here to get the deepness of the reflection of Rosmini, and to have now the idea how through this constellation, how through this idea we can formulate in the same time that the absolute is absolute above, that it is greater than the greatest. It is greater than we can define, we can Thomistically define, we can rationalistically define. It is greater. But not only it is greater because we say it is greater, also St. Thomas said it is greater. Or we say it is greater, but we say it is greater and we cannot get it anymore in a theory. But this every times greater now, no, is every times greater because it is in the tiniest, it is contained in the tiniest, as St. Ignatius stated. This is at the same time as an absolute contained in the tiniest. And we know it, because the idea of being the divine in us is now giving to all the tiniest is now revealing of all the tinies their absolute dimension. And we don't have to forget, that was meaning admired the spirituality of Saint Ignatius, that was meaning studied very much Saint Ignatius, and I think this is then the spirit we can also interpret the relationship between the two lights in Pope Francis, who affirms all the right of natural reason, all the right of natural light of reason, in its absolute sense. And this absolute sense is not making sure that faith becomes darkness. No. It is, because it is seen in this absolute sense, requiring another light, a transcendent light which Fichte and Hegel cannot affirm. Now let's go ahead reading some texts of Rosmini, where Rosmini is now philosophically affirming the relationship between the two lights. And where Rosmini is giving the philosophical and rational reason how to determine the relationship between the two lights, and therefore he is giving the reason why Pope Francis is stating the possibility of the dialogue with non-believers, why Pope Francis can affirm the relativeness of truth, while affirming in the same moment the absoluteness of truth. And who is reading Pope Francis as a relativist? And in this, who is stating that Pope Francis is misunderstanding the Occidental tradition, and who thinks that Pope Francis therefore would be in a certain sense an abandoning of Occidental tradition, has not studied very well the Occidental modernity. Because the Occidental modernity gives us the possibility to think the whole relatively of the truth in its absoluteness. And here Pope Francis sees another analogy to Christianism, because Christianism is affirming the absoluteness of a personal relationship to the absolute, which is in its absoluteness not knowable. We know only the image of it, but in its absoluteness we can have a spiritual relationship. And this spiritual relationship we have in faith. And faith, spiritual life, is the synthesis, as says Rosmini, between the natural light and which we between the realness and the intellectual light. And in this dimension, now we can affirm how the absoluteness is regarding the personal relationship to the absolute being, while in the knowledge of our reason we can affirm the absoluteness of knowledge of our reason. And this absoluteness of our reason can be affirmed only in a positive dialogue with faith. Not in a way when we close, we can say, this natural reason. And we cannot close it. Why? Because we would not affirm natural knowledge in its absoluteness. And so we would not affirm natural knowledge in its lightfulness. Now let's go ahead with the text of Rosmini. Paragraph 17. Consequently, Christianity demands and exhibits not just unity, and in unity the totality of what is known, but order and the rightful origin of cognitions, without which totally cannot be perfect, nor knowledge lasting and efficacious among human beings. In fact, pagan civilization, centered almost wholly upon Greece, was short-lived. The civilization springing from Christianity quickly spread throughout the whole of Europe, although it would be inaccurate to call it European. Its enduring tendency to spread throughout the world is so obvious that it can only be called Catholic, a sign characteristic of the religion which produced it. So, this knowledge of order, this absolute knowledge, this knowledge of the absolute in every single being. What is the order for us meaning? The order is not that everything is on its right place. This would be a Thomistic idea of order. The order for us meaning is that the absolute is known in all being. That when we know a being, we know the absolute dimension of it. And this is the real interpretation of St. Thomas, because this is not the Thomistic interpretation of St. Thomas, because this is the interpretation of the Actus Sendi of St. Thomas. And this idea of order is the real plus value of Christianity, the real value in which Christianity goes over the Greek horizon. And in this universal horizon, this absolute universal horizon, we are affirming the absolute dimension of knowledge. Paragraph 18. This sublime religion, which abolished slavery and brought together the great company of free men, that is the Catholic Church. So, in this universality, Christianity has, of course, also social ethical consequences, political consequences, abolition of slavery, free societies, democracy, we can say today. And these are the practical consequences of a thinking which in its knowledge is the affirming of order, which affirms the absolute dimension in all beings and in all human beings, and which is the first affirmation of the deity of all human beings. The sublime religion, which abolished slavery and brought together the great company of free men, that is the Catholic Church, accomplished its task without any violent effort, simply by communicating to mankind the knowledge of divine truth. By communicating, not by violence, by communicating, dialogue. And I can dialogue only, we said it before, when I affirm the absolute dimension of reason itself, when I affirm the lightfulness of reason in itself. In accordance with the prediction made by the Catholic's founder, true servitude to God is that alone which can free us from servitude to one another. And after this real beautiful text of the introduction of the new essay concerning the origin of ideas. Now we switch to the theosophy, and in the theosophy, the metaphysical work of Rosmini, we read in the metaphysical dimension now the determination of relationship of the two lights. And this is affirmed now in a more, why the new essay concerning the region of deities affirms it in a more, in a way more seen from the level of the subject, because the new essay concerning the region of deities is the theoretical work in Rosmini is explaining his gnosiology, his theory of knowledge. Now in the metaphysics, the determination of the relationship between the two lights is a more metaphysical, a more absolute one, a more one which now is abstracting from the subjective dimension, from the dimension that we have two lights. Now Rosmini is speaking about the two lights in the absolute sense, in a sense of their metaphysical determination of relationship. And in the theosophy, in the paragraph 1176, we read, if it is possible to discover that objective being intuited by the human mind is not only undetermined and objective, but also subsistent and personal, that also the light, the first being, the objective being is not only abstract, it's not only idea, it's not only undetermined, but it's also subsistent, it is also personal. Before we said it is also word. This discovery can be made solely by reasoning, not by intuition. In a philosophical sense, evidently in a positive revelation of God, of himself, it is another thing. But in a philosophical sense, we can arrive at the idea that the absolute is not only idea, is not only consciousness, it is not only absolute knowledge as an image of God, but it is real being. But this is personal being. This cannot be intuited in our intuition. The absolute knowledge of us, it is based only of an idea. It is only abstractive. Our knowledge is absolute but abstract. The absolute being is absolute but real. Is absolute but real. So, the light of faith is the wider light which contains in an abstractive sense the absolute light of knowledge. The first of knowledge, the idea of being, the intuition of idea of being, it's intuited because it is the very beginning of all of our knowledge. And this knowledge, is not the intuition of the absolute being. We cannot intuit the absolute being because if it is a real being, if it is subsistence, we only theoretically have to know it positively. A real being we only can know by perception, by positive perception. Now we don't have any positive perception of God. We don't have any positive perception of God. All our knowledges are based on the abstract idea of being. And therefore, if we philosophically can get to the knowledge that there is an absolute real being, this can only be a result of reasoning, not of intuition. And Rosmini goes on, if this can be made solely by reasoning and not intuition, being as object of human intuition always remains undetermined and impersonal. The idea of being is always undetermined and impersonal. Nevertheless, we know but do not see that being subsists also personally. Unable to see being subsistent in this way, but simply reasoning to it, we do not have perceptive and positive knowledge of it. We have only a cognition resulting from abstractions and logical determinations. A cognition I call negative idea cognition. We can only have a negative idea cognition. All our cognition is absolute but abstract. It is absolute but based on ideas. Why the absolute being in itself, not as image, as its knowledge, but in itself, the absolute being in itself, it's real, it's subsistent, it's personal, it's liberty. Unable to see being subsistent in this way, we said, but simply reasoning to it, we do not have perceptive and positive knowledge of it. We have only a cognition resulting from abstractions and logical determinations. A cognition I call negative idea cognition. Consequently, because subsistence and personhood are essential to and constitutive of being, personal being discovered through reasoning is not the identical undetermined being of intuition, although the latter is contained in the former. The latter is contained in the former. The undetermined cognition is contained in the former, is contained in the personal being. So our knowledge, which is absolute objective knowledge, in its horizon, not in its material elements, in its horizon, in its absolute dimension, in its dimension of unity, of totality, in this dimension which for Rosmini is the idea of being, in this dimension our absolute knowledge is within, it's contained. It's contained in the absolute being of God. In the absolute being of God. As abstraction, it is contained in reality. And this is the possibility. Why then? The other way around, through the idea of being, the one which is higher than the greatest, greater than the greatest, it is also contained in the tiniest. But only because the absolute dimension of our knowledge is all included in the absolute being. Included. Not identic. Not substitutive, it does not substitute it. It is included. And one paragraph later we read, the light of the human mind is therefore first in the order of the humanly knowable and is called the logical or ideological first. So the idea of being, the light of mind, the light of reason, is a first. Is a real first, is an original first. It has not to be cleaned by another first. It is a logical or ideological first. But because this light, which is undetermined being, makes us know that being subsists personally, this is always a cognition which is not first, but second relative to ourselves, a consequent cognition, not a first principle. Let's see what we have read. The knowledge that being subsists personally is not a first knowledge, it is a second knowledge. Because the first knowledge is the first abstract knowledge in its absolute dimension. The knowledge that being subsists, the knowledge of the absolute being, which is subsisting really in its real dimension, it is a second cognition. It is cognition of, as we say, of reasoning, not of intuition. Our first known has the same evidence and the same logical necessity, except that this evidence of logical necessity is manifested to us. The first is not manifested. It has the same logical necessity. It has the same evidence. There is no other evidence. We cannot say that the light of reason is more evident than the light of faith and the other way around. We cannot say that the light of faith is more evident than the light of reason. We cannot say that. Because the philosophical instance, the philosophical level, the philosophical context in which only evidence can be affirmed is the evidence of light of reason. Is the evidence of light of reason. This does not know that every supernatural evidence, it becomes reducted to reason, that it gets reducted to the horizon of reason, that it becomes reducted to immanentism. No. But in order to its evidence, and evidence is always evidence to reason, in order to its evidence to reason, the first known is always the idea of being, the absolute dimension of our knowledge. And even if we treat about the absolute, treating about the absolute in its dimension of evidence, thus in its dimension of the absolute, in the sense that it is knowable, in the sense that it is affirmable, that in the sense that human mind can affirm it in its clearness, in this way there is no huger evidence than the evidence that comes from the first light, from the light of reason, from the a priori of reason. To be first in the order of the knowable simply means to be evident to intuition. This means evident to intuition. It is a question of definition. Hence, although the object of intuition can be greater or less, the evidence and firstness of the object are identical, because the object is always essentially light. It can be greater or less, the object of intuition. It can be greater or less. But the fact that we have the evidence, the fact of evidence is always identic. That which is therefore prior to the ideological first is not prior because it has a greater evidence, which is prior to the first, to the ideological first. So the subsistence of the absolute is not prior because it has a greater evidence, but because the evident object is greater. Because in its reality it is greater, because it is the absolute real. Thus, creation manifests an evident first to human beings, which as evident is absolutely first and has nothing more evident about it. This is the idea of being. But because this evident first requires an object that is certainly endowed with the same identical evidence, we must admit by a reasoned inference that there is, in addition to the logical and ideological first, a first in the order of subsistence called theosophical first, which we do not see by its light, but by the ray of its light, and this ray is our ideological first. The theological first, the real first, the first in its reality, the absolute being, the absolute real being in its subsistence, it is not more evident, but it is beyond, it is a second first. We have to talk about two firsts of the ideological first and the theosophical first. And we can see it only by the ray of its evidence or by the ray of the ideological first. If we see the absolute as something evident, we do not affirm the same evidence of the theosophical first. We affirm the evidence of the theosophical first by the ideological first. And not because the two are diverse, not because the ideological first is in this sense another first. It is contained, it is the same first than the ideological first. But it's the same and it's different because we affirm it by intuition. We affirm it as the principle of our absolute knowledge. And it cannot be the reality, the personality of the absoluteness of the theological first. And in this sense, we can imagine and we can now understand why for Pope Francis, the affirmation of God, of an absolute being, and more than that, all our relationship to it, was meaning the theosophy does not deal about our relation, our religious or spiritual relationship about to the theosophical first, to God. But for Pope Francis, evidently, this is the main discourse. And he said, therefore, the truth is relative, the truth is relational. And we with Rosmini now we can philosophically distinguish between the two truths. One truth is the light of reason, is the intuition of idea of being, is the absoluteness of our knowledge. And the other truth is a personal truth, is a real truth. It is not a truth which would be in competition with the other truth. It is not a truth that would be in collidation with it, that would in a certain way hurt, or it wouldn't in a certain way to be in concurrence with it. And this is very, very important. Very important to understand why Pope Francis can say at the same time, the truth is personal. We have a personal relationship to it. This is the personal relationship, the spiritual relationship to the theosophical first, Rosmini would say. But truth is that. This for Christians is the main point of the truth, because Christians are not only believing in the absolute dimension of our knowledge. This might be the case too, and we hope it can be the case. But it is not the main issue, and it is not the main case of faith, which is the personal faith. the absolute being, to which we can have a relationship, to which we can affirm things that we don't have to affirm at the same time about the truth, which is the light of reason. Distinguishing between the two truths, we can say that the relationship to the theosophical truth, it is a personal relationship. That truth in this sense is relative, that truth in this sense is a relationship. Why we can affirm at the same time, on the other hand, that truth is absolute. That truth, of course, is absolute. But it's absolute in its ideological sense. If it is the truth which is seen in its absolute rising horizon, in its absolute knowledge, which was meaning is affirming with the idea of being, with the ideological first. Distinguishing between these two firsts, we have now learned to read how we can understand when Pope Francis says to Spadaro, in his letter to non-believers, to Eugenio Scalfari, on the September the 4th, and he said, "I would not speak about absolute truths, even for believers, in the sense that absolute is that which is disconnected and bereft of all relationship. Truth, according to the Christian faith," he is saying, "according to the Christian faith, is the love of God for us in Jesus Christ. Therefore, truth is a relationship. The relationship to the real absolute being, to the theosophical first. As such, each one of us receives the truth and expresses it from within. That is to say, according to one's own circumstances, culture and situation in life, etc. This does not mean that truth is variable and subjective. Quite the contrary. And here we are dealing with the absolute dimension of knowledge in the ideological first. But it does signify that it comes to us always and only as a way and a life." Pope Francis is underlining why he can say that truth can be stated as relative. Not as a concurrence to the absolute definition of truth and knowledge in the ideological first. But in the sense when we are thinking about the realization of truth in real life and in spiritual life, in the dimensions of real being and of moral being, which would say Rosmini. Did Jesus himself say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? In other words, did not Jesus himself say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? In other words, truth, being completely one with love, demands humility and an openness to be sought, received, and expressed. Therefore, we must have a correct understanding of the terms. And perhaps in order to overcome being bogged down by conflicting absolute positions, we need to redefine the issue in depth. I believe this is absolutely necessary in order to initiate the peaceful and constructive dialogue which I proposed in the beginning of my letter. Because also if I am affirming that there is an absolute truth, but this absolute truth also, when we are speaking about our knowledge, our relative knowledge, our human knowledge, is absolute only in its horizon. Rosmini would say it is absolute in its a priori. And in this a priori, in the idea of being, truth is absolute. But not even more if it is mediated with the real circumstances, with real life. There we can affirm the absolute dimensions of all the elements. But this does not mean that all our affirmations we do are absolute for themselves. They are not directly deducted, because there is no first truth from which we can deduct other truths. Absolute truth is the horizon, and to this horizon we are referring the truths which we are affirming. And so we have some aspects, some heuristic aspects, some aspects that we can also define hermeneutic, with some hermeneutic aspects. Reading the reality in terms of truth, it is always a hermeneutic in the horizon of absolute knowledge, of absolute truth, but which we never find if we refer to reality. If we refer to created reality, we have never absoluteness. And if we refer to absolute reality, which is God, we have a personal relationship which does not give to us an abstract truth. We does not give to us an idea which contains all the truths of the world we can know, but which is a word, which is a relationship to us. Pope Francis is speaking about a relationship between two realities, which is not an idea, even if a lofty one, the fruit of human thought. God is a reality with capital R. What is our relationship to reality, to other real beings, to other persons, and first of all to God, is not something which is derived from our idea. Pope Francis has the very distinction between idea and reality. And this is distinction we can read and we can reflect on thanks to the considerations of Rosmini. And for now, I thank you for the attention.